Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is Tuesday, which means we have the Blueprint Power Hour slated with my co-host, Coach Rob Regish. That's going to start in just a moment. Before we do anything, I have to, of course, pay homage to our title sponsor, and that is Legendary Foods. Their help in sponsoring this show has been nothing short of miraculous. And it feels good when a company invests in your dream, and when you promote them, you don't feel like a scumbag or a traitor to your audience. And that's one of the things that all of our sponsors do for us, but especially Legendary Foods. Legendary Foods has amazing snacks, from seasoned almonds to flavored nut butters, all with the same theme: little to no sugar added to get these miraculous, amazing flavors. And the toast, their tasty pastry is nothing short of the fastest growing healthy snack on the planet. And I mean that. They're getting ready to start shipping to other countries. The demand is amazing. And it's because the tasty pastry tastes amazing. Even if you set aside the fact that it has less than 1 gram of sugar and 20 grams of high-quality protein. If you go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary, look around the website. They have amazing flavors. These tasty pastries come in amazing flavors. I promise you, you'll be eating them a lot faster than you think you will, especially if your kids start eating them. So use the code SHR10 to get 10% off your order. And, of course, if you listen during the commercial breaks, you will hear a secret word. And email that secret word to onair@superhumanradio.net. Just include your mailing address. That's all you got to do. If you want, I've had people confused about what to put in the subject line. Just put tasty pasty giveaway. Tasty pastry giveaway should, you know, eliminate any lost items in inboxes. And you will love your free box so much that we predict that you're going to be ordering more. And that's why we do this. This is the same business model that Ron Penna used to launch the Quest protein bar that ended up becoming a $1 billion company in under 9 years. And they're doing it again. But it only works if your product is so amazing that giving them away isn't going to cost you money, because you will get customers. Not everybody could do this, but the tasty pastry will change your mind about healthy snacks, I promise you. And without further delay, let's get my co-host up here and roll his music. Where is his music? There it is.
Calling all Blueprint Army, fall in line. It's time for the Blueprint Power Hour with Coach Rob Regish on the Superhuman Radio Network.
How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great, man. You?
Yes, very good. Very good.
Good.
What's new? Ahead. There's some exciting stuff going on. You have an anniversary to celebrate.
Yeah. You know what? This week is a very, very special week. It is the 10-year anniversary of Mass Pro Synthogen debuting, which I think I announced on this show as well.
That's right.
And predicted would still be here. And sure enough, it is. So Mass and I, who
they make it for you. They make
it for you. Yeah, they're a huge part of it. They're the reason it was brought to market. We wanted to do something special. Okay, so there's a couple things to unpack here. First, we're taking $10 off every purchase, even the single bottles, which is, if you look back, I'm pretty sure that's the lowest price that in the last 10 years. Even better, the $10 off also applies to the already deeply discounted multi-pack. So the listed, you know, 10, 20, and 50 off, I think it is, goes to 20, 30, 60. So it really is a price rollback to when Synthogen made its big debut 10 years ago. Second, when you use the code CELEBRATION, you're going to get a brand new Synthogen-specific upper body workout from yours truly. Worked on this for quite a while. It was going to be part of a new book, but I wanted to give it away, more or less. I custom made this for Synthogen, so you can see for yourself what everyone else is talking about. Even the single bottles are going to get this, so everybody that orders gets it. Now, there's one more thing that Mass is doing. Very nice of them to make this special. If you purchase any of the already discounted Synthogen multi-packs, I think they come in 2, 3, and 6, you will not only get that $10 off, not only get the workout plan, but Mass has some newly branded baseball caps in that are absolutely beautiful. I wish you could see and feel these because, I mean, these are not the cheapos, you know, with the mesh on the back and the plastic and all that, that most companies give away. Mass weaves quality into everything that they do. And this is a great example. It is very sharp. It's black and white, just like the Synthogen capsules too. So, long story short, if you ever wanted to try Synthogen, honestly, now is the time. You can go to Synthogen.com and the code CELEBRATION, if I'm not mistaken, it already pre-populates for all of those extra bonuses. So you will be served for a long time to come, even when that bottle is done. But I'm quite certain that won't be your last one. We have almost all repeat buyers. So yeah, but 10 years later, man, here it is.
Well, it's another anniversary now that Dylan Gautreau has commented on today's show. This past weekend was the anniversary of Katrina. And I think Dylan still lives in Louisiana. But a lot of people left Louisiana. People like, Aaron Singerman. I mean, the home he was living in, the apartments he was living in were destroyed. And he fled to Texas. And that became his journey entry, to where he is today. So Dylan, where were you in 2005 last weekend? Absolutely amazing, he says. My favorite snack for breakfast, hands down. He eats 1 to 3 tasty pastries a day. Dude, you're buying stock in legendary foods. That's what you're doing, man. That's what you're doing. And you know what? I love them. I eat them. Elisa is a, oh, I already had one today person. I'm not one of those people. If I eat 4 a day, it's because I wanted 4 a day. If I eat 1 a day, it's because I... He is in Texas as well. See, this is what happened. A lot of people that were displaced from New Orleans and surrounding areas in Louisiana during Katrina back in 2005, last weekend, they ended up in Texas. And and Dylan, be honest. Would you rather be back in Louisiana or do you love Texas? And we'll wait for the answer, so you don't have to rush. But I'm just curious because I hear such great things about Texas. It makes me very interested in Texas. Okay, so our first question comes from Art Barr. He says, have you heard of bovine growth factors or bovine growth factor serum? A friend of mine is pushing me to buy some, says it'll add huge amounts of muscle. Is he right? No, he's not right. And only because one thing, not even powerful drugs like Trenbolone add huge amounts of muscle. But I'll let Rob...
Yeah, you know, in terms of raising growth factors, you know, IGF-1, 2, MGF, things like that, with anything oral, and growing significant amounts of muscle, it just doesn't happen that I can see. You know, it's a futile exercise. And I'll define significant as 10 or more pounds of real muscle. I just haven't seen it with these products, at least not to any great degree. The one notable exception... might be colostrum, which I have heard from a number of people about great weight gains. Now, granted, they were using quite a bit of it.
Yes.
And most of it they report being muscle. Now, those products then, the colostrum products, are not necessarily bunk at all. I mean, everybody from Pat Arnold to I think you and Mass has had
some. But you have to overeat colostrum. It's very, very costly. But it there's no doubt in my mind that if you have the budget to eat, like, I don't know, let's say 100 to 150 grams a day, you'll see amazing results quickly. It's so powerful. It really is.
Yeah. And, you know, the two things that I've always heard from the folks that have used it, in addition to what you just said, is it actually is very settling to the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And they recover faster. And I would tend to agree with both of those assessments, having used it in the past. And not at the 150 gram a day level. Maybe I should have, but, you know, it is what it is. It's something that I think is exceptional in the right amount. In the right amount. Now, in addition to that, when we're talking about growth factors, I have always been partial to loaded stretching, you know, which we know releases growth factors, IGF-1, MGF. I don't pretend to know all of them, but I do know that loaded stretching helps, right, in getting these growth factors active in the muscle building process. In all candor, though, I think to make significant gains in muscle, you either have to inject them or use them with something else. So, you know, fortunately, from what I can see, they're still available as research chemicals. But that would be my commentary on this class of product. You know, they're certainly not hocus pocus. Colostrum, certainly worth looking into, especially now that I think the price has come down from where it was when it was originally introduced.
But if you're going to buy colostrum, right?
Yep.
You don't have to buy the most expensive, because there's a guy out there saying that he has liposomally encapsulated colostrum, which is actually a lie, because colostrum is predominantly fat. So technically it is in a liposome. Right?
Already.
But if you buy a high-quality colostrum, one that is 100% colostrum, or better yet, find a farmer in your area that sells raw unpasteurized milk to their cowshare members and buy real colostrum like I do in gallon jugs.
Right.
You know, don't piddle around with these blends that call themselves colostrum. And they're not all colostrum. There are a bunch of other things in there. We had this discussion with one of our viewers, who probably is going to be on here as soon as he hears the word colostrum. and that is, if you go to places like Tractor Supply to buy your colostrum, that colostrum is made to feed to bovine, to baby cows, because for whatever reason, the mother couldn't put out enough colostrum, let's say. When you look at that colostrum, there's other stuff in there that you don't need. High amounts of some vitamins and minerals that are just way too high for humans. So if you're going to do an overfeeding test with colostrum, just be sure that it's only colostrum and nothing else, please. So that's a big deal to me. The next question comes from, well, let me just put this up here while it's still up there. So Dylan Goutreau, I asked him how long he's been in Texas, if he likes Texas. He says, I've been in Texas for 19 years. I moved several family members here after Katrina. He said, I miss the people in Louisiana, especially southern Louisiana, but much better life, more opportunity here in DFW, Texas, which is Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yep.
For show, he says. But, yeah, it's a lot of people got displaced in 2005, right around this time. All right, the next question comes from Cecil Nettle. He says, I'm getting up there in age, 62. Catch up, man. And have trained most of my life lifting heavy weights, but the injuries are starting to pile up and really limit me. I still want to train, but how can I, do I have to give up lifting heavy? What do you think?
Well, not necessarily. The first and most important thing, though, I would tell you, is to get an accurate diagnosis on those injuries and then, you know, determine the root cause and pursue, obviously, healing. Most injuries, in my experience, even at age in the 60s, are overuse injuries. In, you know, either eliminating the offending movement or pattern, movement pattern, or switching to another one will go a long way towards preventing it from reoccurring. On the accurate diagnosis thing, I can't say it enough. Don't guess or self-diagnose. I did that. I did that with my right elbow. When it started hurting, I thought it was tendonitis. So for years, instead of using glucosamine, which could have slowed or arrested the cartilage loss, I was using CSIS. So I got pain relief, but by the time I got an accurate diagnosis, it was too late. The doctor came in, he said, there's no cartilage left. This is severe arthritis. It's bone on bone. And that is why and how self-diagnosing can cost you. Learn from my mistake. I regret it every day. I would also look into doubling up on your rest time, which frequently makes a difference in these situations, especially the overused ones. So let's talk about that. What do I mean? Let's say you're train hard for 6 weeks and then you take a week off. Instead of that, try training hard for 3 weeks and take every fourth week off. In fact, that is precisely what Dan Duchesne recommended when he was developing one of his lesser known training systems that he was working on shortly before his death. And that was for guys far younger than 62. Don't knock it until you try it. Most guys grow better and their joints hurt them less if they do something like that. I would get a notebook specifically for inventorying the movements that you can do, right, versus the ones which cause you pain. Now, since most of us are not walking exercise encyclopedias, including myself, I would recommend the book Keys to the Inner Universe. I think Bill Pearl wrote that one. There are thousands of exercise variations in that book. And it goes way beyond just showing you different exercises. It talks about training. It talks about diet. And there are some really, really good stuff in there that you need. You need this book on your bookshelf. Sometimes all it takes is a new movement or two, right, to really jack up your interest in training again. Just make sure you can do it. Use body weight training. Can't say it enough. If you're 60% or more of your movement should be body weight. Does that mean no weights? No, of course not. You know, even with body weight movements, you might choose to add weighted dips or chins. You know, if you're going to do that, make it easy on yourself. Buy a weight vest. You're not going to believe how much it adds. And now finally, I would tell you this, stretch. Now I know. I was in this boat for a long time. Nobody wants to stretch. So, I learned three simple stretches, that are outside the context of this discussion, but performing those 2 to 3 times a week has worked wonders. And it doesn't take forever. I mean, I hold 3 stretches for 20 seconds each. So, you know, one's for the front side of the body. One's for the back, posterior chain, and the other one's for the side chain, lateral chain. Train hard, train smart, get a proper diagnosis and medical treatment. You don't necessarily need to stop lifting heavy. You just need to go about things a bit more methodically.
So Robert Thompson put something up here, and I'm going to guess he didn't mean the Brindle method. He means the Brignoli method. We've had Doug Brignoli on the show, and he does have methods to train muscles where you're activating 100% of that muscle. So his books are fantastic. I've actually incorporated some of his movements in to the way I train. My chest is growing better than it has ever before. I mean, it's just amazing to me, just following some of the kinesiology-directed methods that Doug Brignoli talks about.
But look what we're talking about, books.
Books. Yeah, right. See, very underestimated, right? Don't go to TikTok to learn how to train. Buy a friggin' book. You know what I mean? But let me tell you something else that is not discussed here for Cecil.
Yep.
So I've been doing deep dives on iron accumulation for a long time. I suffer from iron accumulation because I'm on testosterone. All men who are on testosterone will hyperabsorb and accumulate biological iron in their body. This is not a good thing. I've been talking about this for over 10 years. So I was texting back and forth with a favorite orthopedic surgeon of mine, Dr. Betsy Yerth, and iron will impregnate soft tissue. If your iron levels stay high enough long enough, iron will start to embed itself in ligaments and tendons. Oof. But wait a minute. It's worse than that. It's not just the rigidity that it creates, but iron is the single most oxidative thing in your body. So Oof. We all talk about how oxidative stress ages us and destroys yeah. us. Well, the single most oxidative thing in your body right now is iron. Think about it. It rusts in the air. It just rusts. It oxidizes so quickly. And when you have high levels of iron, it's in every single cell of your body. When it starts getting into soft tissue, it's a problem. And here's why. Because once it impregnates, soft tissue is avascular. There's no blood vessels. So when you donate blood and you get rid of iron, the iron in tissue will start to come out and go into the blood. And if you do this long enough, and we're talking about a couple years if you're in your 60s, every 2 months for a couple years, you'll start to get the iron out of tissue. And you'll notice that your muscles don't feel as stiff anymore. It takes a long time to get the muscle, the iron out of soft tissue because it's avascular. The blood doesn't pass through there. And so you got to do it for a good 2 or 3 years. Get your ferritin levels down to somewhere around 50. And if you notice that you're suffering, like, oh, I just don't have the cardiovascular conditioning, I can't run anymore, then let them inch up closer to 100. But getting the iron out of your body may actually reduce what we consider the hallmarks of an older bodybuilder or weightlifter where, things are hurting me all the time. I'm tearing muscles now. I have all this pain and ache. Do this for me. Start donating blood every 2 months, Cecil. And just see what happens in a year or two. Just don't put a lot of hope in it. Just see. Craig Hollander says, iron overload also depletes copper, which is essential. Yes. And too much iron with puffers promotes lipofuscin, liver spots. Exactly. Yeah. So iron is bad. Getting it out of your body is good. And actually, there's evidence that people who donate blood regularly live longer and have fewer diseases. No one talks about it. I tried to get somebody from the American Red Cross to come on my show and talk about it because I was sure that we could actually never have a blood shortage again when people realize that donating blood is good for them, not just the person that gets their blood.
I do it every 2 months, too.
Yep. Very good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a must, and especially for men and women, women post-menopause, it's a must. Let's see here. Let's get to this question. Then we have questions that are posted live, and we'll get to all those. Everything that's posted, we will get to, I promise. Mike Sohey says, I've had great luck with creatine, so tried some other amino acids, but was disappointed. Thought I read something about amino combinations being better than single free-form aminos. Is there anything to this?
Well, there is and there isn't. So let me explain what I mean by that. I do think that various combinations of amino acids can be very, very useful. So, for example, it's often overlooked that creatine is actually a combination and synthesized from arginine, glycine, and methionine. And in fact, way back in, it was either 1990 or 1991, before anyone really knew what creatine was or hit the mass market, I was using an amino product from Beyond a Century up there in Maine. And it was just that. It was arginine, glycine, I think, and methionine. And it worked, you know. It absolutely worked. The funny part was, not funny, maybe, the taste. Arginine is bitter as hell. It's like drinking alkaline batteries. Okay, just picture. Now, glycine is sickly sweet. And methionine, on the other hand, has a very strong sulfur taste. The resulting potpourri smelled a bit like rotten eggs rolled in wet dog and then stuffed into an oldie dirt sock. You know, and now who drank this stuff? Yeah, people like me. I don't know how many there were, but I certainly did. Now, that shows clearly, right, that, what do you call it? combinations of amino acids are going to work and work pretty well. So they're out there. I think Dr. Deep Pasquale's book is an excellent read. Amino Acids, The Anabolic Edge, I think it is.
It was actually designed to be a textbook, believe
it. Was it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've obviously done a lot of work with amino acids. It took 2 years. 2 years and 9 kilos of essential amino acids on my kitchen table looking for various ratios of the EAAs to see, you know, what ultimately worked best. And you know, you hopefully at some point you hit pay dirt. But again, that took 2 years to achieve. Now, let's switch to the singular amino acids. A lot of them have merit. Leucine, taurine, arginine, citrulline, beta-alanine, glycine, trimethylglycine, tyrosine, that, you know, we've discussed this. They've all been used with varying degrees of success in sports nutrition. I'm going to have a special feature actually next month in the bulletin, or tomorrow. And it's looking at one amino acid that it just does an incredible amount and it's very reasonably priced. Lately, I will tell you this. I've been looking into OKG, ornithine alpha-ketoglutarate. Now, I know some people are probably laughing because that product was popular in the late 80s and early 90s when it first appeared in French medical journals, showing it dramatically helped burn victims. They, you know, recovered much faster. Their skin healed quicker. Unfortunately, OKG didn't last, but I'm not convinced necessarily that that was due to its complete ineffectiveness, because from the research, it looked to me that you needed at least 10 grams a day, preferably with a higher carb breakfast. Higher carb, yes, that's what I said, breakfast, to make a meaningful anti-catabolic impact. At the time, though, it was extremely expensive. 10 grams a day was just out of reach for many people, including me. And it's doubtful, right, that most athletes or many athletes could afford enough and get the stuff down. It was nasty, right? So if you can't do that, you can't determine its real value. The rise in popularity of low-carb diets more or less sealed its fate for a number of reasons, but that's what I'm looking at now. I would also tell you, besides beta-alanine, athletes are having a lot of success with taurine and TMG, trimethylglycine, more so than most of the others, at least based on the emails and texts that I've received. So after getting yourself a good essential amino formula to use during training, I would suggest 2 to 4 grams of taurine, as well as 1, 2, maybe 3.5 grams of trimethylglycine a day. Going higher on any of those individual aminos anyway, it doesn't seem to be necessary. I can't see that it's adding anything other than unnecessary expense. So it's a great question, and Dr. Deep Pasquale's book is still, I think, still the authority on such matters.
Let's get to one question from live viewer here, and then we'll take a break. Let's see. So who was the first here? Katrina Miller, avid fan of the show. Thank you for being here, Katrina. Best peptides for newly diagnosed ALS. It's not just peptides. ALS finds itself in that same spectrum as multiple sclerosis. And we know that MS and most likely ALS respond to dietary changes. You may want to buy, oh, God, what was her name? I can't think of it. But anyway, there's a couple good multiple sclerosis diets out there. If you search for them, I would say apply those for your ALS first. You generally have to do these diets for at least a couple months to start to see a reduction in any type of observable symptoms in your condition. As far as peptides go, I would say probably bioregulators like Epitalon would be good. They're good for the brain. You know, I find HCG, which is used for fertility, to be very valuable. I take 100 IUs of HCG at bed every night, not just because I'm on testosterone and it keeps testicular function intact, but also it increases the release of a lot of other hormones. ALS and MS share a lot of the same, symptoms and progression. And I would start digging into Dr. Terry Wall's book. She had MS. She was crippled by it. And today she rides her bicycle and she lives a normal life. I would look at those types of things first, because peptides won't work, Katrina, unless you remove the insult. The thing that's causing the ALS has to be identified and eliminated, or the peptides won't do anything, because it'll always be two steps forward, one step back. You'll still keep eroding, even with the peptides. The peptides should only be employed once you've stopped. You can observably say, okay, I'm not getting worse. I'm actually kind of feeling a little bit better. That's when you employ the peptides. But you have to do that hard work first. I'm sorry.
Did you mention in the past removing all plant-based foods from the diet as part of?
Oh, absolutely. If I was diagnosed tomorrow morning and I thought I had multiple sclerosis, as you recall, I've made an announcement on the show that I thought I had it. It turns out to be something else completely. And quite frankly, I think it's very related to iron. The fact that she said he is in pain, the first thing I would also employ is blood donation once every 2 months. I know, you know what it is? Oh, blood donation. Everything is blood donation. No, I'm not saying that. I mean, it just happened to come up on the same show. But the reality is that
so many benefits.
There are a lot of benefits from getting old blood, old dirty blood out of your body, and your body produces brand new blood, and it's amazing. This is amazing. But as far as pain goes, that's a completely different thing. Again, I would give the carnivore diet a try. And not all beef, you know, chicken, salmon, you know, all different types of fish, turkey, maybe a little bit of beef here and there if you're donating blood every 2 months. But you need to get on a very strict elimination diet. Maybe go over to Dr. Sean Baker's website, his carnivore diet website, and glean it for the meal prep and all that sort of stuff. I predict that if you can get him to eliminate 99% of what he eats and just focus on chicken and fish and beef and pork and those kind of foods, every single meal, two things are going to happen. Number one, he's going to end up eating a lot less every day. And the less you eat, the less wear and tear on your body. Number two, he's going to start feeling better. The pain is going to start subsiding. He's going to say, wow, this is working. Then you can look to peptides. But I am not an advocate for the carnivore diet, except in disease states that are clearly a function of diet. It is the strictest, most effective elimination diet, much more so than vegan. Vegans continue to have problems with inflammation because the stuff that they're eating is causing the inflammation. Meat doesn't cause the inflammation. It just doesn't. And I know people will hate hearing that, because eating meat is so bad, we've been told that's all bullshit. That's all bullshit. If eating meat was bad, we wouldn't be here today, because we would have been wiped off the planet a few million years ago, because we ate a lot of meat back then. In the wintertime, all we did was eat meat.
We'd have much smaller brains.
And that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Consuming meat made our guts smaller and our brains bigger. Mm. That's a good thing. But Katrina, I would move to a elimination diet like the carnivore diet first, and I would roll with that for at least 3 months before you make a decision. At least 3 months, and do it strictly. And then if he starts to feel better and he says my pain is going away, you're on the right track. Stick with that, and then you can start talking about peptides like Epitalon and the rest. Look at this, Andrew Scarborough, my friend from the UK. He says, I would try boswellic acid for the pain and stay away from tap water. Why, Andrew, do you think deuterium has something to do with it, or the chemicals in tap water? Hopefully he'll be able to reply.
He's spot on about the boswellic acids. I forget the name of the brand, Apriflex, I think it is, APRES Flex. They have an excellent standardized Boswellia serrata. So, yeah, you know, Boswellia is an interesting one because unlike glucosamine and chondroitin and MSM, it works fast. And if it's going to work for you, it'll work for you within an hour or two. So it's not unlike things like naproxen sodium and ibuprofen, but obviously much, much healthier for you.
And Robert Thompson makes a great point. Elimination diet, stressing protein, leveraging, good idea.
Yeah.
There's a theory out there that the reason people overeat potatoes, let's say potato chips, is not because of the carbs, but because of the limited amount of protein. Your body is trying to satisfy its protein needs first and foremost, always. So if you eat a food that's 90% carbohydrates and 10% protein, you're going to eat 10 times more of that food to satisfy the body's protein need. And this is why people on the carnivore diet say that, you know, I only need to eat once a day. And if you're only eating once a day and you're satisfying all your protein needs in that one meal, the wear and tear on your body drops. Your immune system can actually start going after the bad actors instead of the stuff that's leaking into your body through your gut.
Right.
So I would really, Katrina, I hope you do this. I hope he gives the carnivore diet a try, and I'd love to hear back in a few months or as soon as his pain stops, because I predict his pain will stop. We're going to take one quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Hey, this is Carl Lenore. Superhuman Radio is the longest running health, fitness, and anti-aging podcast in the world, going into our 16th year of continuous production. If you have a product that you think would appeal to the superhuman nation, we can get you on the air quickly and inexpensively to help promote your brand. Join the ranks of some of the largest and most successful companies in the world who know how great it is to be affiliated with Superhuman Radio. Contact Dan Kopitzky today, that Dan.Kopitzke at superhumanradio.net to learn more. Remember those rectangular toaster pastries you used to love when you were a kid? Well, Legendary Foods has just made them better. The new cake-style tasty pastry is like nothing you've ever had before. With 20 grams of high-quality protein and less than 1 gram of sugar, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary and use the code SHR10 to save 10% off your purchase of tasty pastries. Now available in cookies and cream, red velvet cake, birthday cake, blueberry, strawberry, brown sugar cinnamon, and hot fudge sundae. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary and use code SHR10 today. Blood sugar. Knoll Creek Hemp Company's Delta 8 soft chews are the premier Delta 8 product on the market today. Knoll Creek's Delta 8 is produced from high-quality hemp-derived CBD oil, and soft chews are manufactured using proprietary nano-emulsification technique that ensures the Delta 8 soft chew will timely deliver the desired effects cleanly and consistently from piece to piece. In a space where at least 70% of the products fail to meet label claims and where most users of conventional hemp products are left disappointed, Knoll Creek's Delta 8 soft chews are a product you can trust. Visit shrnetwork.biz/delta8. That's D-E-L-T-A and the number 8. And use the code SHR20 to get 20% off your first order today. Every day, there's a new wellness trend. Eat that. Do this. Avoid those. How do you know where to start or who to trust? Inside Tracker helps you cut through the noise by analyzing your blood, your DNA, your lifestyle, and your fitness tracker to provide you with a science-backed, trackable action plan on how to live, age, and perform better. Personalize one-size-fits-one recommendations to help you optimize you. For a limited time, Inside Tracker is offering Superhuman Radio listeners 25% off the entire store. Go to shrnetwork.biz/insidetracker, InsideTracker, to save 25% off. Change begins on the inside. I would easily say that I am the hugest proponent you will ever meet to doing anything that will improve the quality of my sleep. And that's because sleep is linked to just about every metabolic disorder we see in our population today. One of the easiest things you you can do to improve the quality of your sleep is to get a pillow that can be shaped into the exact form factor that allows you to get your best night's sleep. And that is MyPillow. I've been sleeping with MyPillow for a few years now, and I can tell you that when I have to travel and stay in hotels, I don't get a good night's sleep because I don't have MyPillow with me. Right now, you can save up to 60% off of everything offered to improve the quality of your sleep at shrnetwork.biz/MyPillow when you use the code SHR. Or you can call toll-free 800-889-4938. And remember to use code SHR to save up to 60% off of everything at their website.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the Blueprint Power Hour. You know, a lot of the questions we get are often about things, supplements and, you know, diet. And we're often shooting in the dark. And what do I mean by that? People say, oh, I tried this and it didn't do anything. Well, what were you expecting? If you can measure something, it makes much clearer whether or not you're seeing benefits from it. One of the best things that you can learn to measure is blood sugar. I did my first show in 2006 telling my listeners, buy a glucometer, even if you don't have type 2 diabetes. Understanding your blood sugar is magic for diet, for recovery, for sleep, for overall health. And now we know for accumulating senescent cells. So I did a show just recently, for those of you who were listening to it. It was show number 2752. Elevated blood glucose is the link to mortality during COVID infection. The higher your blood sugar is going into the hospital, the more likely you are going to have severe symptoms and die. Now think about that.
That's pretty profound.
I know. Yeah. And this is why people, the comorbidities, the type 2 diabetes is the real primary comorbidity. The heart disease, the dyslipidemia, the kidney function, those are all secondary. The high blood sugar is what's destroying you. Knowing your blood sugar is probably the single most important biohack that you can employ. We have a new sponsor. They're called NutriSense. Continuous glucose monitors are really the best biohack you can buy. And right now, my audience will save 30% off plus a free month of nutritional counseling. If you go to shrnetwork.biz/NutriSense and use the code SHR30, I wore this glucose monitor for 3 weeks, and I can tell you what it did for me. Every time I'd eat a meal, I would watch what it did to my blood sugar. And I knew what meals were going to cause me problems after doing that, and I stay away from those. Monitoring your blood sugar around the clock while you're sleeping will give you insights into why your sleep sucks. I can't tell you how many people tell me, oh, I wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning like clockwork. I don't understand it. Yeah, it's because your blood sugar is dropping, and as a result, your body is trying to liberate glycogen and has to turn on the adrenal glands, and boom, you wake up.
Yeah.
So if you wear a NutriSense unit to bed, you'll know that. You'll see, oh my God, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and look at this. My blood sugar was in the tank. It was down below 70. No wonder why I woke up. And then what can you do? Take some glycine before bed. That's magic. That keeps your blood sugar stable. Then you take it. And then the next night you go to sleep, and in the morning you wake up and you look at your NutriSense. I'm sorry. You take your NutriSense app out and you look and you see, oh my God, my blood sugar didn't drop. That works. Now I have something I can depend on. The single greatest thing you can do to improve health and longevity is not buy a supplement. It's to understand what your personal blood sugar looks like on a 24-hour basis for months on end. That's where the magic is. That's where you will learn to stay healthy. But you can't do it by guessing. So again, go to shrnetwork.biz/NutriSense. Use the code SHR30. Not only save 30% off your CGM, but also get a free month of nutritional counseling. It doesn't get better than that. Take advantage of this, because this is a device that will change your life once you start to see what's happening to your blood sugar. And if you have high blood sugar, you are prime to not only get really sick from COVID, but possibly die from it. Shouldn't you know? So there you go.
Yeah, profound stuff. It can be very helpful in knowing how to modulate insulin and therefore build muscle as well.
Post-workout, right? Post-workout, yeah. You want insulin to come up, right? You want your blood sugar to come up. You could see it right on the app.
I did the prick your finger thing way back in 2012 in and around workouts to do research on just, you know, what the optimal combination of things would be to take. But you're 100% spot on. I'm with you there. And insulin, extremely powerful hormone if you can harness it. Right.
And the only way you can learn how to harness it is to look and see what meal to meal does to your blood sugar. There you go. All right. The next question comes from Terry Bandello. Sorry. What's the straight deal on COVID, especially this Delta variant? It's pretty clear you're anti-vaccine. No, I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm anti-forced vaccine. But what is if they mandate it for everyone? And why do so many people die from COVID and others just get the sniffles? Something doesn't make sense, and I wonder what you think. Thanks for all you do. The show is really great service.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not a doctor, right?
And we're not making any medical advice, YouTube.
Right. And so you should see one if you have questions about COVID. Indeed, before making any healthcare decision. With that out of the way, here is my opinion and what I think. The straight deal with COVID from the get-go, Delta variant or not, has not been easy to get at. So let me give you one example. COVID deaths. We are told over 600,000 people now have died from COVID thus far. Now, Did they only include people that had COVID and only COVID? Not from what I can see. You know, if you had COVID, you were 114 years old, you smoked for 50 years, and you have COPD and you died, they counted those people.
Yeah, the presence of the virus was the reason for your death then, right?
Right. And so in terms of pumping up the deadliness of this thing, does that seem disingenuous to you? It does to me.
Well, let's not forget one other thing. The year 2020, 2021, not a single person contracted the flu or died from the flu. Now, wait a minute. And I know people are going to say, when I say to people, why are we having no flu cases? Because people are wearing masks. Then why are we still having the COVID cases? Like, if it can stop the flu, it would stop COVID, too, because the size of the virus is the same. And if the flu can't get into the mask, then COVID can't get into the mask. But we know that's not true because those blue masks are only 10% effective. Think about that for a second. You wouldn't wear a condom that's 10% effective, right? I mean, okay, you wouldn't, right? Would you buy anything that's 10% effective and trust it? Of course not. So those blue masks were doing nothing, which means that they weren't stopping the flu or COVID. Think about this now. So where did all the flu cases go? Now, we do know that they pulled the PCR test because it couldn't tell. It was never designed. The inventor of the PCR test came out and said, it won't work. It's not designed for this. And so what we did was we used the PCR test and we mislabeled a lot of deaths. That's the God's honest truth. It's not going to come out now. It's not, because it's not part of the narrative. But in years from now, it will. But it'll be so far back that we won't even care anymore. But it's impossible that nobody died from the flu from 2020 to 2021. And there were no new cases of the flu from 2020 to 20. Everything was COVID. You're smarter than that, right? Aren't you? Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. So, you know, I just want people to understand, I'm not saying COVID is not a serious health issue.
It is.
And can be. But knock on wood, I know of no one who has died from COVID and only COVID. Now, if it was as lethal as presented, it would be, let's say, Ebola, Okay.
The Black Plague of the 1300s, the Black Plague. If you got infected with that, you died. There was nobody, right. Nobody lived through it.
Right. If this was the Black Plague, then you would know plenty of people that died from it and only it. Dozens, hundreds, maybe, you know, God forbid, they would
have died at home. We would have so many deaths at home because not everybody would have even been able to get to the hospital.
Right. And so I'm having great difficulty reconciling these discrepancies. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Next. Okay, we get to the Delta variant. It appears to be more transmittable, but not necessarily more deadly.
Right.
And now news reports, of course, differ. You know, who you listen to, it may be different, but that's what I'm getting out of it. But here's the thing. Because the original COVID story doesn't add up, this one doesn't either. It appears custom made to scare people. At least, you know, and blame people in certain populations. You know, for the rise, COVID is still here, you damn unvaccinated people. You know, you're the cause of this. So more on that in a bit. Now, if you think this whole thing stops at Delta, think again. Because there, of course, you better believe there's Echo, Foxtrot, and every other variant all the way down to Z, and then we'll hit a new coronavirus, and this whole thing starts again.
Right.
You know, so what happens here? What happens as a result of that? Who benefits? Well, it's going to be a world without vaccine end. It's every 6 months. It's every year. It's maybe, you know, two or three shots initially and then boosters. Who benefits, right? My math is not my strong point, but 330 million Americans times, let's say, $3,000 a shot, which I've read they're getting, equals a shitload of money.
Well, wait a minute. Pfizer, for the first time in the history of the company, just posted a second quarter earnings of $8 billion.
Exactly.
And, you know, look, and I'm not anti-vax. The only reason why we're even having this discussion is because our government wants to force us to get a vaccine. Theoretically, if they would have treated COVID like any other viral infection, and they would have said, hey, if you're 60 years old and older, you need to get the vaccine. But if you choose not to, then that burden of choice falls to you. If you die from COVID, you're going to die from COVID. That's your fault. But the second they start saying everybody needs to be vaccinated, Now people go, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. So we wouldn't even be having this discussion if it wasn't forced vaccination.
Right. And as you pointed out, predictably, every U.S. company making this vaccine has reported record earnings recently.
Of course.
Right? All on the back of these vaccines. And by the way, it's not just the United States. It's the world. It's pretty much the world. So start doing the math, and you realize this doesn't mean hundreds of millions of dollars to these companies. It's in the billions.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the
billions. It's going to be in the trillions. The truth is, when this is all said and done with the booster and then the other booster and the other booster, these companies cumulatively will have earned the amounts of money that small countries make every
right.
year. And it's going to be in the trillions. Now, does that mean it's bad? No, that doesn't make the vaccine inherently bad. But again, forcing people to get a vaccine, now, especially in light of three great studies that have been published that show that people who get COVID and survive have better protection than the vaccinated. Now, think about that. Why would you want to force a person who has antibodies, who clearly had the virus and survived it, why would you want to give them a vaccine that A, opens them up to possible side effects, unwanted, and B, doesn't confer any additional protection? Why? It's called the money, baby. It's the Geld. That's what this is all about.
Yeah. And another thing is this. Look, it's very interesting to me that there are stories, you know, everywhere, put front and center about a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist, anti-vaxxer, usually a Republican,
yeah,
radio personality or other prominent people about dying from COVID. Okay, funny thing though, nobody's run a story about my dad going blind after his second Pfizer shot.
Yeah, all those stories. Poor John Meadows most likely died from the vaccine, but they're going to blame it on the fact that he was a bodybuilder and he used anabolic steroids. He had a heart attack last year. Unless there is so precise a line between that vaccine and your outcome, they ignore it. They just ignore it. But let me say something else, too. I have two close friends that have gotten COVID within the past 3 weeks. Both of them had the same exact symptoms. Just tired. So tired. One of them is retired, so he doesn't have to worry. The other one works from home. He was able to work anyway. And it took them about 2 weeks to feel back to normal. One did have a dry cough, but nothing terrible. Neither of them had difficulty breathing. Neither of them ran a fever. And they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. One is 60 and the other one is 30. And all COVID did to them was, and muscle pains in the back, especially the lats. Muscle pains and tired for like almost 2 weeks.
Right. And so just like you, understand, I am not necessarily anti-vaccine. You know, my son had to be vaccinated against the measles and the mumps and things like that right before going to school when he was, a small child. That's okay. Those things have been out there for decades, and we know what the pros and cons are, and it's all good as far as I'm concerned. However, when it gets to this, it's not good. Well, let me put it this way. The mandates for everyone to get this are not good. In fact, I think it's the biggest form of tyranny and threat to our personal freedoms that has ever happened in this country. And it really saddens me when Americans just roll over and say, oh, okay. Are you kidding me? Somebody is going to mandate an injection that they're going to stick in me and inject what? A vaccine that the safety studies won't be done for another 2 years on?
Right.
They got to be out of their minds.
Right. But people don't care. People don't, because what our government has done very successfully is taken the focus off of what the vaccine does and put it on what the vaccine means. And what I mean by that is this vaccine doesn't work. All the people that got this vaccine because they were promised that they wouldn't get COVID, they wouldn't have to wear a mask, that didn't happen. Right. And now we have breakouts or breakthrough cases of people who've been vaccinated getting COVID. And I mean primary COVID, not just the Delta variant. And they still shed the virus. So the vaccine has done nothing except divide America into two groups. Those who want to make their own choices for their body, my body, my choice, and those who feel that they need to do it in order to be part of the team. It has nothing to do with health anymore. Nothing.
Nothing. Right.
Don't forget. Oh, but now it's, if you get the vaccine, your chances of dying are less. But at the same time they did that, the CDC decided to stop tracking vaccinated people who die from COVID. Again, folks, this is not about health. If you feel like you're in your 70s and 80s and you got comorbidities and your blood sugar is high all the time, get vaccinated. Go get it.
Yeah. And now I'm sure there's somebody listening that's saying, oh, boy, he wait till he gets it. Maybe he'll die from it. Well, you know what? Maybe I will. But I have judged thus far what I know about the vaccine to be worse than what I know about my ability to beat COVID. If God forbid, I get it. My immune system has served me very well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Not just my entire life, but through the, 18 months now, 19 months that the virus has been with us. Knock on wood. I'm not bulletproof. I understand that. What I'm saying is, if they're really interested in mandating this vaccine for everyone and they want everyone to take it, some of the things that they're doing couldn't drive me farther in the other direction.
Right. Right.
Censoring people that is just disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to fact check me, or if you want to dispute something, that's fine. But when I see the government, I never thought I'd see it. But when I see the government censoring my free speech, it sends a trial balloon up. Something's not right.
Yeah, of course.
And of course. You know, I've already told my wife, this is the hill that I'm going to die on. If they come for me and say, you got to take this vaccine, if I have my way, my last stand is going to be a few miles down the road here in a veteran cemetery. And why a veteran cemetery?
Because they fought for our freedom. They died for our freedom.
It's filled with hundreds, maybe thousands of heroes, like these 13 that just died in Afghanistan and more, so that I didn't have to. They died so that I didn't have to live in a country where my voice was silenced or somebody mandated they're going to stick me in the arm with some very questionable drug. Sorry, folks. You know, it's just, those are my feelings on it. They're obviously strong. They're not going to be right for everybody. I respect your decision. You know, my wife had to take the vaccine. It's a long story, but you know, my friend's father, he's 96 years old, multiple condition underlying, you know, pre-existing conditions. The vaccine's the right answer for him. I'll grant you that. But mandating it and censoring free speech, that's not the right answer.
Andrew Scarbo, apparently he had COVID. I didn't realize, maybe I did realize it, but it's been a while. He said he made sure to do breathing exercises with the windows open, sitting or standing up, and very light exercise. Yeah, you don't want to train, even if you feel like you can, because then your immune system is shifted to repairing the damage from the training and taken away from fighting. Lying down all the time can make you more fatigued, so I tried to avoid that. Plus, you can't breathe properly in a supine position. He's right. I also took melatonin, vitamin D, and breathe in frankincense. I used to be an altar boy. I love the smell of frankincense. I really, really do. From a diffuser. Definitely worse than the flu for me, and absolutely exhausting, but if you listen to your body, you can manage it. We have a lot more comments coming in right now, because obviously we're talking about this very, very hot subject. So I'm going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will get to everybody else's comments. Feel free to post your comments about how you feel about this discussion. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. If you've listened to Superhuman Radio for any length of time, you know I'm a big proponent of peptides. One of my favorites is GHKCU, the blue copper peptide. It has the ability to repair and regenerate more youthful expressions of skin cells, reversing the signs of aging. RestoraCell's Stem Cell Awakening Serum, along with their other products, contain potent formulations of blue copper peptide and only the highest quality organic ingredients. Superhuman Radio listeners can now save 25% site-wide. Buy their complete set and receive a free exfoliating cleanser. Go to shrnetwork.biz/blue. And use the code SHR25. That's SHR25. Remodel your skin today. I keep saying the number one killer is insulin resistance. Managing blood sugar is the key to living long and aging well. But we all like to eat starchy carbohydrates and sugars from time to time. How do I manage this? I use a product called Blood Sugar Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This easy-to-take supplement is the result of numerous tests to find the absolute best formula for maintaining healthy blood sugar. Blood Sugar Breakthrough works to safely lower blood sugar after meals so that you can maintain a healthy weight and redirect carbohydrates to your muscles where they can be burned as energy. This means you'll avoid the worst effects of high blood sugar, like weight gain and advanced aging, while enjoying more stable energy, mental clarity, and fewer cravings. Go to shrnetwork.biz/bloodsugar and save 10% with code SHR10 today. Blood Sugar.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Being superhuman means being conscientious about the choices we make. White Oak Pastures is superhuman when it comes to raising livestock. They're committed to animal welfare, land regeneration, and rural revival. They responsibly manage the entire process from the pasture to your doorstep. High-quality, pasture-raised, great-tasting meat from a farm you can trust. Full nose-to-tail selections. They even have options for your pet. Go to shrnetwork.biz/whiteoak and use the code SUPERHUMAN to save 10% off your entire first order. I need to share with you all a revolutionary new wearable technology called HapBee. HapBee allows you to enjoy the effects of caffeine, alcohol, nicotine, melatonin, and muscle relaxants without actually ingesting anything. Yes, really. They figured out the unique magnetic signature of each of these molecules and recorded them. Just put the HapBee on, choose the signal you want, and it starts projecting the magnetic signature of that molecule that you choose, like coffee for feeling alert. Go to HapBee.com/SHR. That's HapBee.com/SHR to learn more and unlock an $80 discount exclusively for the Superhuman Radio listeners.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We got hit with a bunch of questions that we're going to go to, and then we'll let's see here. So Robert Thompson says, how recent was John Meadows' vax? From what I understand, shortly before he passed away. In fact, we did a show a few weeks ago, maybe three, four, upon his death. And I suggested, I wonder if anybody's looking into whether or not he received the vaccine. And Bill Toko, who's a friend of mine and a friend of John's, and I texted a week or so ago. And during that show, I made the supposition. I said, you know, I know John is getting ready to go abroad. You know, he goes to like Dubai and he does all these bodybuilding seminars and stuff. The guy was, he was amazing. His contributions to physical culture will forever be felt around the world. And someone during that show who was watching on YouTube said that they had just heard John on a podcast like the week before, and he said that he was not going to get this vaccine. He was going to do his best not to get it, and he was going to put it off for as long as he could. So we surmised during that particular Blueprint Power Hour that he didn't get it, and he died of other causes. But then I get a text message from my buddy Bill, and he said, and this was like 2 weeks ago, he said Meadows did get the vaccine. I said to Bill, did he get it because he was traveling overseas? He said, well, it could have been that he was preparing to go overseas. He said, but also because he coaches football, maybe he had to get it because of the kids and being a coach. And I really, you know, I was very suspicious when he just died. And by the way, the death certificate says, it says coronary thrombosis, which is a blood clot in the heart. And if we know anything that is not argued by the pro or the anti COVID vaccine people, is that it causes blood clots. They all do. The J&J was pulled first and then put back on the market. The Moderna, the Pfizer, because this spike protein that they're injecting in you stimulates the production of inflammatory responses from your immune system, and inflammation makes your blood thick and clot. So it's not a mystery.
And you know what? There's science behind that. If I'm not mistaken, the Salk Institute has published a study showing that this spike protein runs all around the body and contends, this was interesting, they contend that COVID is a, not a respiratory disease, but a vascular disease. And they're saying that spike protein will do a number on you, especially if you have a weak area from a prior heart attack, a stroke, what have you.
Well, but there's another important thing to discuss here that is procedurally being ignored. So mm-hmm. The reason they give you a vaccine in your shoulder and they use a gel-type media to keep that vaccine localized in the shoulder. So the immune system responds to it, but it's in your shoulder, okay? If the vaccine gets, like if they gave you a vaccine intravenously,
then everything in that vaccine would be delivered to every part of your body and not stay localized in your shoulder. Well, when you look at the average, like I have a fairly thick shoulder, okay? And the chances of hitting a major blood vessel in my shoulder are lessened by the overall size of the muscle. But you take all those same blood vessels and you squeeze them all together into the same little area of a narrow little shoulder of the average American, and the possibility of hitting a blood vessel is much higher. They don't aspirate. Anytime I do an intramuscular shot of testosterone in my hip, in my quads, wherever, I aspirate first. I push the needle in. I pull the plunger out to see if any blood comes into the syringe. If blood comes into the syringe, that means I'm in a blood supply and not muscle tissue. I take the needle out. I put it somewhere, maybe a half inch to the left, an inch to the right, push it back in, aspirate again, no blood, and I push my testosterone shot, which is by prescription, in. But that's called aspiration. That is so you know you're not in a blood vessel before you deliver the payload of that syringe. They're not aspirating. So the reason why it's hit and miss, why some people react horribly to this vaccine and other people aren't, not at all, is because it's a crapshoot. In John Meadows' case, maybe they did hit a blood supply. Maybe they pushed that in. Once it's in the blood supply, it travels to the brain, the lungs, the heart. It travels. It goes everywhere. To your feet. It hits everywhere. So that spike protein is going to cause the same kind of inflammatory response that the virus caused, but just localized in that tissue.
Don't their own studies show that it doesn't stay in the shoulder like they thought?
I don't know about that. I've never heard that discussed.
I recall reading something about that, but yeah, it's worth looking into.
Laura Armstrong says, powerful comments. Rob, thank you for speaking the truth. And I think Rob says what most Americans, at least 78 million Americans who seem to be about the vaccine. I'm all for people getting the vaccine if they want it. I wouldn't block the vaccine any more than I'd want it forced on me.
Right. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt you.
Robert Thompson says, steroid bodybuilders are at task of COVID. Witness Bill Phillips. I have no idea what that means. What does
that mean?
What is steroid bodybuilders are at task of COVID? Like they're going to die from COVID more so? That's not true.
He might be referring to the fact that there's some research showing that steroids, and I'm not sure which ones or all of them, do negatively impact immune function.
Well, they all modify immune function. All of them do. And just like they modify the gut microbiome, high levels of testosterone will change the gut microbiome just the way high levels of estrogen will. But I don't understand. And then he goes on to say, Tony Huge, I guess that's a bodybuilder, also wiped out by COVID. He shrunk from Hulk to wimp. Of course he did. He's not training. He's not eating. That's not COVID. I mean, if he was mountain biking and fucking crashed and had to lay in a bed for 6 months to recover, same thing would happen. See, this is my problem right now. The number of people who die in the general population is pretty much the same as the number of people who die in the bodybuilding community. And when average people die, people go, oh, what did he die from? He had a blood clot in his lungs. Oh, okay. But when a bodybuilder dies, they're like, oh, steroids. Yep. Steroids killed him. Yeah, steroids killed him. Yeah, for sure. That's steroids. That's bodybuilding and steroids. That's steroids. This is nonsense. Robert, I don't know if you are a bodybuilding type or just a physical culturist, but you have to stop this kind of 1 + 1 = 6 delusionary thought. Bodybuilders actually don't die as frequently as the general population. They tend to stay healthier longer if they keep bodybuilding. And I've been on testosterone since 2017. And before that, I had natural levels of testosterone. So why would testosterone all of a sudden be the culprit? You know, we have to stop this nonsense. It's just not fair. There's two things I hate. It's when someone looks at you and sees a bunch of muscle and goes, steroids. Or somebody hears you died and goes, steroids. It's neither of those.
And, you don't, it's incredible.
If you don't have the work ethic and the ethic to eat what you have to do for a decade, I don't care how much steroids you take. I'd love to give somebody a gram of test a week and just have them be regular schlubs and see how much muscle they gain.
Well, yeah, and what gets me is if you're a bodybuilder, well, it's okay to stereotype bodybuilders, but boy, you do that to other groups, you could be convicted of a hate crime.
I know. Why aren't they protecting us? I was supposed to take another break, but we're going to just stop the clock, and we'll just go right into the blueprint tip of the day, and then we'll end the show. So what is the blueprint tip of the day, Rob?
Tip of the day is never underestimate the power of hope. So many of you know about the sting of injuries and how they can hurt you, not just physically, but also mentally, psychologically, whatever you want to call it. Fortunately, most injuries heal with time. Sometimes time is all it takes. In other situations, you know, that might require anti-inflammatories, physical rehab, or even surgery. Either way, you'll ultimately be back to, hopefully, right, 100% at some point. But not everyone is so fortunate. Consider, for example, what I talked about before about arthritis. For most people in the advanced stages of arthritis, they're told there's nothing you can do. It's only going to get worse, not better. And living with pain is going to be your new norm. That's just how it is. And that's exactly what I was told about my right elbow, and that it was only going to get worse, not better. And I could consequently no more heavy dipping, benching, one-arm push-ups, right? Obviously, all those things were going to be out. But I refused to give up, and I vowed that it would get better. I could do that for the simple reason that I had hope. Hope is a very powerful thing. It kept me looking. And so I kept looking. And the best solution, of course, is regrowing new cartilage, something that we've discussed before, intra-articular, you know, growth hormone injections. And at least in those cases, right, like mine, where there's none left, no cartilage left, that might be the only option. Yes, there are things like PRP, you know, platelet-rich plasma, stem cell, etc. But in the absence of any cartilage whatsoever, I was told anyway, even stem cell would be a real long shot. And so while I didn't get the stem cell stuff done, I did get PRP, and they were right. You know, what little relief I got was only temporary, and it was an expensive experiment, right, because it's not covered by insurance. But I still had hope. Over the years, I did find things that have helped. Glucosamine, chondroitin, CSIS, fish oil, you've heard me talk about these things. And to be clear, these have made a major difference, major improvement. How big? It's the difference between me not even being able to hold a handstand versus able to do handstand push-ups against a wall, but handstand push-ups with a weight vest, which is nothing to sneeze at, especially when you were left with the prognosis that I was. So at this point, I knew two things. Number one, what they said about there's nothing you can do, it's just going to get worse, wasn't true. And two, if anything, I had more hope than when I started because of some of the success that I did have with those products. Hope is a very powerful thing, but it cuts both ways. When you believe there's no hope, you will almost certainly fail. Mm-hmm. Everything is negative. Nothing will work, so why even bother? You know, didn't the doctor himself say there was no hope? He's a doctor, right?
He knows everything.
Yeah, folks, I'm here to tell you, doctors are people like you and I. There are good ones, there are bad ones, and there's everything in between. But here's the thing. They don't live in our world, a world that historically has been at the forefront of many a breakthrough. The medical community is now only grudgingly admitting to. Resistance training makes you muscle bound and slow until we prove the opposite. Fat was bad and carbs were good for weight loss until we prove the opposite. High protein diets are toxic to the kidneys and they're not going to help you grow more muscle until we prove both of those false too. Now I could go on and on forever, but you get the picture. They don't know some of the things that we know, despite the fact that yes, they're doctors. They're experts in their field. You understand you are an expert in your field. So, I kept looking even beyond, right, the things that I mentioned. And I'm very happy to report that I found something for severe arthritis that has worked better than anything I've tried. I'm dropping it in tomorrow's bulletin. But needless to say, I'm excited about it, right? Even with glucosamine cesis, I was unable to perform a single dip with just my body weight. My right elbow just collapsed. Same deal on push-ups, same deal on bench press. Yesterday, I did reps with 45 pounds around my waist. And no, that's no world record, and it's far from what I used to do. But I have the ability to train now, largely pain-free, and that's all I need. That's all I need to saddle up and ride this horse as far as it'll go. This something that I found, it took me 4 years to find. 4 years since I was originally told there's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. It turns out there was, and I'm not done yet, not by a long shot. So I'm going to finish with a quote from an author, Samuel Stiles, about hope. He said, "Hope is the companion of power and the mother of success. For he who hopes strongly has within him the gift of miracles."
Nice.
He essentially summed up what I tried to say in a long-winded sense.
And we missed one question that I want to get up here.
Yep.
From Jonathan Layson. He says, "Are we familiar with kinosylin? It's a veterinary med. You remember this stuff? I remember it from a long time, 20 years ago. Bodybuilders would love it. Can you shine some light on it? Love the show, you guys. Thank you, Jonathan." So I remember being introduced to kinosylin about 20 years ago.
Yep.
I never used it.
It makes me smile because I remember I used to get a newsletter / catalog every month from this company that sold their products direct. I forget their name. But they claim to have an oral version of it. But what's being discussed here is one of those quasi-legal veterinary medications that showed up in the bodybuilding world for some time and, according to some people, had some benefit. Now, if one look at the ingredients, though, but this is part of the reason why I didn't use it. You know, I think it was adenosine monophosphate, magnesium, potassium, vitamin B12. There was nothing exotic in it that would lead you to believe this is going to make me leaner, stronger, and faster. That is what some people who used the injectable reported. Now, was that placebo? Possibly. Was that legitimate? Possibly. Would I use it today? That's an interesting question. I might. I haven't seen it, though, like you, in 20 years, and the fact that I was getting the catalog snail mail tells you all you need to know.
When I was a kid, I worked on the racetrack, Aqueduct, Belmont, Saratoga, Monmouth Park. I dropped out of high school. My father said, "You got to get a job." So I figured I'd go get a job on the racetrack at Aqueduct. And so I spent a lot of time on the racetrack, and I actually thought I wanted to be a large animal veterinarian. I spent a summer on Hobo Farms in Ocala, Florida, working with a vet there. So before this became an injectable thing, it used to be called a jug. And so a jug was a plastic bottle that a vet would put a cap on with a rubber hose and it had a needle at the end of it. And put it into a major artery of a horse and stand there. We'd pet him, and we just wait for the jug to empty out. And what it was supposed to do and what kinosylin is supposed to do is more acute. So what I mean by that is we would give a horse a jug the day before a race or the morning of a race.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the morning of a race. If he was going to race that afternoon at 2 o'clock, once all of the traditional tasks of the barn were done, horses were back in their stalls and fed, they would take the horse that was going to race later that day out and in a nice quiet area, and they'd give him a jug. And what it was supposed to do is improve blood flow to working muscles. It was supposed to be a powerful vasodilator.
It was NO2 before NO2, right?
Technically, it really was. But yeah. And then it became injectable in kinosylin, which that then they would actually give a horse a whole 10 milliliter shot of it. And the advantage of that was you didn't have to stand. The jug is a very slow process, you know. The groom, who I was a groom at the time, I'd have to stand there and hold this jug for probably 15, 20 minutes until it slowly infused into this horse. These are all supposed to be vasodilators because the idea is vasodilation without the increase in nitric oxide, by the way. So kinosylin and jugs won't increase nitric oxide, but they have an effect on blood vessels that causes them to expand. And there's lots of things that do that besides nitric oxide. Good, Rob.
Was I right? Was there anything exotic in it? Because if it
No, it was B vitamins. It was AMP. It was
potassium.
Yeah, it was potassium in it. There were other minerals in it. So some of it was to replace electrolytes as well, or top them off, so to speak.
Right.
But I never used kinosylin because I just felt kind of like I never bought any anabolic steroids from veterinarian supplies ever. And maybe they're just as good as the stuff that, you know, you get from the compounding pharmacies. I don't know. I mean, you know, they're probably sterile, but just for some reason, I always felt that horses' lives were less valuable than humans. So if they are going to cut corners, they're probably going to cut corners on the stuff that they're putting in horses. And that's the only reason why. But I've never fooled with it, and I just don't know what its true value would be for a bodybuilder or a powerlifter. Now, if you tell me you're an Olympic runner, you know, where dilating blood vessels before the race is going to give you an advantage, yeah, maybe kinosylin is something worthwhile. They used to say it was anabolic, too. I just don't see how it is. I don't see how it is.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's funny what you just said, though, about, you know, you look at it and you say they give it to horses if they're going to cut corners anywhere, right? It'll be on a vet med. When I inquired about DMSO, a trainer, I asked him, does it work? He says, there's no placebo effect here, boss. And then I asked him if it was safe. And he chuckled and he looked at me and he says, you see this horse? It's worth millions of dollars, probably a lot more than you, right?
Right.
And I had, you know, his point was well taken.
Right.
But after
working on the racetrack,
yep,
that's complete bullshit. And I'll tell you why I say that.
Okay.
Well, no. It's logical, right? These are animals are very, very expensive. But they don't just use these things on the expensive animals. They use them on the $2,000 claimers, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But more importantly, what they do to racehorses is tragic. A horse is only worth anything if he can run. And if he still has his balls, he can sire. Right? That's it. That's all they're worth. And what we did to horses to get them to the track often was just horrible. Inhumane. You wouldn't do it to your dog.
Yeah.
Freeze their legs. I remember putting horses in tubs of ice. We'd paint their shins with DMSO. We put them in these tubs and we'd sit there and let them be in the tub for an hour and a half or long. Now think about this. Think of somebody who stuck your arms in a tub of ice and made you stay there for an hour and a half, how your arms would feel. The horses would want to jump out in the beginning, but as the numbness kicked in, then they'd become more docile. And then when you brought the horse to the track, he couldn't feel his legs. That was a good thing, right? Because he can't feel the pain in his shins or in his knees, right? He can't feel it, right? But think about this. Where does the proprioception go if a horse can't feel his front legs?
Yeah.
I mean, they do that every day at the racetrack, 10,000 times a day. It's just So that's another reason why I won't use veterinarian supplies, especially if they're made for big animals like horses, because they really don't. That answer that guy gave you makes sense. But if that horse lives 8-9 years, they're happy. That's all.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, I was young. I wasn't married. I didn't have a child. I would say, hopefully my son would tell you I'm worth more now.
Yeah, right.
Than I was then. So,
But Kinosolin, I personally wouldn't mess with it. I never did. And I've done some crazy stuff. I am not a prim and proper type of a person. I've done plenty of drugs throughout my life were very risky, but Kinosolin wasn't one of them. I just didn't see the benefits of it. When you can use testosterone and even Equipoise, Boldenone, they used to give to horses, but we buy it as humans as Boldenone. So that's it. We got everybody's questions. How do you like that?
Yeah, great week. Great show. Yeah. I had fun.
Hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope people share these shows. Share them soon, because I'm sure that once YouTube hears some of the vaccine discussion, they're gonna block us again. So we'll see.
Right.
We'll see.
Right.
All right. Good. Excellent discussion. Thanks to everybody who was here live. It makes the show so much better. You bring the flavor and the good questions. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Take care.